This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Now we take a short left. The other day we went to the Northwest. Today we go to the Eastern Cape. And I will be joined by the spokesperson to the MEC of the Department of Education, Vuyiseka Mbotlela. And we will just be discussing about, I mean, there are concerns that are coming through from some schools in terms of how they've been neglected insofar as infrastructure is concerned. An example being Inqubela Primary School, which has struggled with infrastructure problems for more than half a decade. It has lost half of its 400 learners for the 2021 academic year. And I mean, there's a dilapidation of infrastructure going on there. And they feel that they've been trying to reach out to the department and they have not been finding any joy. Of course, I'll also chat to Vuyiseka about developments around a further rationalization that is happening with schools there and how that is affecting at times the post-provisioning model and the headcount of schools to, of course, the detriment of quality education. Vuyiseka, good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
Morning, Lukona, and morning to the listeners of Power Talk.
Thank you so much for making time to join us. I mean, let's just probably start with that story. I'm sure you have seen the story of Inqubela Primary School. I mean, 50-year-old school with great history, having educated about three generations of learners over time. But, I mean, this is not the only school that is struggling with questions of infrastructure in the province. When you look at your infrastructure backlog, I mean, how bad is it? How dire is the situation? And what is it that you are doing to try and, you know, effect the necessary change?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Lukona. Firstly, perhaps I must give you this picture of numerical difference in the province and as compared to other provinces. Firstly, in the Eastern Cape, you've got schools that the total number of schools in the Eastern Cape is 5,343. Mm. The total population of learners in the Eastern Cape, the last accounted number last year, as we are to finalize applications and everything else and placement in this year, is yet to be determined. But last year, it was 1.7
million, of course.
Yes, 1.7 million, yes. And then you go to Gauteng. Schools in Gauteng, they are 3,000, the total number of schools in Gauteng. The total number of learners in Gauteng, it's 2.8. The difference between Eastern Cape and Gauteng, I would wish to make this example and further come close to your question.
Yeah.
The difference between these two is that Gauteng has got bigger, mega functional schools, that which they will have a population of not less than 2,000 learners in one school.
Yeah.
And that 2,000 learners, it therefore means that the resources, the teachers that are then found in those schools, they are responding to that number. You come to Eastern Cape, Lukona, you've got close to 700 schools in the entire province. They've got two teachers. It's a school with two teachers because learners in that particular school, they are 35. Mm. Now, for the pedagogy of teaching and also the quality of what you then need, especially at the subside to the foundation phase, that is from grade R to grade 7, you'll find that there are schools that are very small, they are dysfunctional, they've got two teachers, and that teacher is there then expected to teach everything. Mm. Now, the process of rationalization is saying,
let's wait before we go to that, we go to the rationalization question, so that we get a picture. I mean, every Department of Education tends to talk about this infrastructure backlog. And of course, I mean, you'll appreciate that the biggest difference between the Eastern Cape and Gauteng is just the vastness of the province of the Eastern Cape, which of course affects the proximity of communities. And of course, Eastern Cape, quite rural, and Gauteng, very much cosmopolitan and urbanized. So these are important environmental and geographical factors to take into cognizance to deal with these differences in terms of the concentration of school vis-a-vis the number number of learners that you have. But when you talk about infrastructure backlog, and I mean, I didn't want to locate this only to the question of mud schools, but you've got a school like Inkubela, which says, I mean, it's seemingly still viable. I mean, you may say 400 learners is quite little for a primary school. We can have that discussion, but they are losing them because their infrastructure is not well looked after, maintained, refurbished. So when you talk about an infrastructure backlog, where you are at the Eastern Cape, what is it that you are looking at, and how do you quantify it?
Yes, now, I'm getting close. I'm getting exactly there. Now, the point is, when you've got school like Nkubela that has got 450 learners, and the school is dilapidated, it therefore means entirely as the province, we need the last presentation that was made as an assessment to eradicate schools and pit latrine toilets, which are a thorn in the hip in the department. You would need almost like 8 billion. Currently, in this coming financial year, we are going to be given 1.6 million for infrastructure.
Billion.
That infrastructure, Lukona, talks to building schools, talks to building toilets in schools. Now, out of the total number of schools that I've given, there are those schools that are going to be closed.
Yes.
And when they are being closed, those schools, it therefore means you have an opportunity to redirect budget. Leave these schools, because small as they are, they have to be given budget, because funding at education is not about the school. You fund the individual that is a learner in a school. If a school has got 400 learners, and that school, a learner is funded by department 300 rand a month, it therefore means that you are going to say 300 rand times 400 learners in that particular school, and once a month, and then times that money into 12. Now, when you've got schools that have got kids that are 35, it therefore means that that school would not have budgets to do anything, because policy of government says when you fund a school, you fund a school based on the number of teachers and based on the number of learners.
Yes.
Now, the last point that which I would wish to raise is that some of these schools, Lukona, we are unable to close them for two reasons. One, others, they carry some historical sentiments.
Mm.
For an example, it wouldn't be easy to come in Koon where we are and close a school where Nelson Mandela was studying. It therefore means that even when you apply the process of rationalization, you must then look at such sentiments.
But that sentiment, I'm glad you raised this, is that sentiment adequate? Is that sentiment equitable, where some communities have said also, this school, sazakhela ngokwethu, it's our school. We don't care what government thinks of it, and we are attached to it. But we have seen some of those schools being closed.
I'm getting exactly there, and I'll make a practical example. Now, that is a school that is the school of where maybe Dada Mandela or Mama Nokzola Mndende would have studied in. There's some semblance, and there's a level of liberation route that is attached to that individual. But you then have the same school in one particular community where people say, no, no, we've built this school with our own 20 rands in 1992, and it can't be closed because it has produced a particular Mbokela, and Mbokela is doing this and that there. Then the department must build that school. Now, that is where there's a disjuncture, and that is where you'll find that even when you look at the schools that are always in the public for a discussion and everything else, and them having dilapidated structures, it's because communities attach sentiments in those schools, and then they become a reason for them to say, we are not going to close the school. But if you look at the policy and how the school can be supported, you'll find that there is just no provision.
Yeah.
It is impossible, because learners inside, there are few, and found that the communities themselves, they take their kids out of this very same school that which they say that it can't close because there are sentimental values that are attached. And then it gives you a point where you must then look value for money and say, must I then kill Nkubela because there is Gwadane Senior Secondary School on that site that which says that we have built this school, and this school once produced in Portland, then it can't be closed.
Yep.
Because there are such sentiments. And lastly, before I give it to you, Lukon, you've got schools in the Eastern Cape, especially in the former Transkei, that are built based on traditional rule. When I say on traditional rule, in the Eastern Cape, you've got 243 headmen and chiefs. Now, each and every headman and a chief would want to have a school in his or her own community. That's why the other problem is, and when there are feud in two communities, that there are, there's a village A and a village B, which in terms of municipal demarcation, they're in one ward. You'll find that there's one ward that has got four schools. And these people, all of them, they expect their four schools to be built. Because there's a traditional and a sense of authority as it and when that particular traditional leader has a school, especially when a school is named after him. We've got such incidents, especially in the OR Tambo, and especially in Alfred Nzo and also in Amatoi.
Okay.
So those are some of the things that we have in dealing with infrastructure. But okay, again, it remains an obligation of department to build schools.
Yeah.
That's why in this year we're going to hand over 33 schools in different communities in the province.
Okay. I mean, I'm in conversation with the spokesperson to the MEC for the Department of Education in the Eastern Cape, Vuyiseka Mbotlela. And we're just looking at growing concerns in the Eastern Cape education system. And that line, if you have a question, is 0861-987-000. And we will be making sure that you have your say and share some of your thoughts with I just want to end on this note on this particular issue around schools and, closure of some schools, Vuyiseka. In some instances, I mean, I was working closely with a school in Port St. John's, Mbabalane Senior Primary School, where we were assisting them to finish off a four-classroom block that the community had built, and the mud block that they had was now collapsing. The grade art class was no longer able to be convened in that particular classroom. But then they were made promises, right? At times the promises are there, the attempts are there. The Minister of Education, in fact, had the Mandela, I think it was in the, there was a Mandela project, though, in 2014 that the Minister had, and some of the schools were identified in the Eastern Cape. But whatever they were identified for, such as Mbabalane, those promises never happened. They were never delivered. All they received was a certificate that they were part of this Nelson Mandela project that was being implemented by the Department of Education at a national level. I mean, as the province, do you worry when you get promises from the national government on assistance with infrastructure development, with building of certain facilities, be it office blocks for staff or kitchens, facilities and so on, where the nutrition meals can be prepared? Do you worry when national government doesn't come to the party after making promises, such as to the school as Mbabalane Senior Primary School in Port St. John's? And what is it that you are doing to ensure that the promises that are made are fulfilled, so that the little money that you have, saying 1.6 billion, can be directed to other issues rather than being forced to double up where the national government had said it would come through?
Lukona, let me give you the far-reaching implications of that you have just said, which is very true. There are pronouncements that were made in 1996 in building certain schools in the province, and such have not yet happened. And as they have not yet happened, if there could be any person that legally follows that up, it could end a bit bad. Because we are at a point, Lukona, where there are communities where you'll find that we're unable to go there and give services, not only as Department of Education, but as other Department of Government, because people will be picketing and say, no, there was a meeting here, there was this particular a leader of government, and he or she came and made a pronouncement, and we even did a sword turning. That's the reality that we're in. Now, reflect from that and come close to 2012. In 2012, there are many schools, Lukona, that were built in the province. And some of those schools were built as an instruction of the of national.
Yeah.
That is under the program of
the ACD program.
Yes, but some of those schools today they are
ghost towns. They are not occupied.
They are not occupied, ne? And as they are not occupied, there's been an investment of government. they've been an investment of government. Now, it tells you that when the MEC says that there must be an accelerated service delivery and there must be a synergy between what is happening at national and what is happening in province, we'll be able to circumvent that as time goes by. That's why currently, in this financial year, the number of 262 toilets that are going to be built in Eastern Cape, they are as a result of a wisdom that is coming from the department itself, because it is it that knows specifically, without a desktop report, that knows that in this school there is no toilet. In that school there is a toilet, but it is a dilapidated structure. So from where we're seated, it means that there was a planning of government at a national level, but there was just no synergy between the department at a national level
and the provincial level. Let us just take some calls quickly before I come to the last part that I want us to explore, which is the further rationalization of schools, moving grade 8 and 7 and 9 out of some of the primary schools to high schools. LK, good morning.
Good morning, Lukona, and how are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
All right, thanks, Matt. You know, Lukona, I have just three questions. The first question is that it would have been, following what Vuyiseka is saying, it would have been ideal that the question that you had posed, let's take just the infrastructure backlog issue. When did this infrastructure backlog issue have a program? And how much was the budget for that infrastructure backlog program? What has been achieved in the years gone by? And what is still remaining to be achieved? You know? And if the response can be given in that fashion, then we would know that there is an infrastructure backlog, and the infrastructure backlog is comprised of the following elements. And over the period of years, this has been the amount of money that has been budgeted against that infrastructure backlog, and this is what has been achieved. Then you move on to say, what is it that needs to be done insofar as the rationalization, the building of new schools, closing down other schools? Then one can pick up what is it that is being done by government. But in the manner in which the conversation is happening, it's like it's all over. We are not readily receiving what is it that has been done by this government. The responsibility of the government in the Eastern Cape, and not to conflate the issues that must be done by national.
Yeah, and I hear you, and we did get that figure of 8 billion rands that would be needed to sort of deal with the pit latrine questions and the building of some schools. But I do get your segmentation approach that you are looking for.
Sure.
Okay, I'll put that question. Let me take Ruben. Good morning.
Hi, morning. I hear the issue of schools, in particular the ones we hear that have got sentimental value, the ones built by the communities and all of that. But we can always say there are those schools in the Eastern Cape which do not have those issues, yet they are small and they need to be closed. Perhaps the department needs to narrow those down and close those first. But next, if you're going to keep a school because Mandela studied there, it's no longer about the Department of Education matter. That now becomes a cultural matter. Perhaps the department must then remove those schools first as schools, but as cultural heritage sites, and then get the Department of Culture and all of those to deal with maintenance and upkeep of those places.
Okay.
So that when we have a conversation, we have a clear conversation about education, which is on a schools matter.
Okay.
But we should not now mix the conversation of cultural heritage and all of that, which they do have the departments of their own. And as government, I think they should be able to work in synergy and make sure that all these things are brought together.
Ruben, captured. Thank you very much there. Tabo, good morning.
Lukon, how are you?
Very well, how are you?
I'm good. Lukon, you know, I don't have a problem with us as parents building schools for our children. But to me, I feel so much guilt because this is not what the elders fought for, you know? The ANC is going to be comfortable in such a manner that they are going to get away with murder. The things that they were supposed to do, that they promised to do, you know, they were saying, no, the citizens are doing it for us. So let's continue with the looting. You know, it's, to me, it's problematic.
Okay. I hear you, Thabo, saying that we must be careful not to substitute the ANC. Vuyiseka, I'll come back to you. Let me just go to the shops quickly.
9 a.m. to noon. This is Power Talk on Power 98.7.
Of course, and it is 5 to 11, so I bring that conversation with Vuyiseka Mboxela to an end. I mean, you heard mainly LK and Ruben had questions for you, probably LK wanting you to sort of give us a sense of, you know, the breakdown of the backlog. I was just beyond the question of pit latrines and schools that have to, I mean, there were mud school issues at some point. Can you say now there's no longer a mud school, for example, in the Eastern Cape?
I wouldn't say that there is no mud school in the Eastern Cape. There are many, and the process of closing some of them, which those that are having two teachers, there are 700. I said that earlier, and I must say that I did make an indication that we needed 8 billion to just eradicate infrastructural issues in the province, which talks to pit latrine toilets and building of new schools.
Yeah.
And also maybe I must make it this indication that maybe I might have not been able to explain it such that LK understand it, but the disjuncture of building of certain schools between the period of 2012 and today,
yeah,
that is the one that has led to certain schools in the province being built, being in the new state of art, but not having kids inside because there's immigration and everything else that one can think of. And also maybe we must agree, maybe Lukona, that we can't speak about the actual budget and everything else without us knowing exactly the total number of schools that
absolutely
we need.
In fact, Vuyiseka, I do want to ask this question.
We must firstly get rid of these ones that we know that they are not in a state of being schools. And then when we're done, we get to know the exact number. If it's 3,000, we know that starting from today going forward, the number that we need funding for is for 3,000 schools.
I mean, I just want to get to this point. You talk about these schools that have been built, and I mean, it points to a problem of a poor needs assessment, poor, you know, future projections insofar as these schools are concerned. Do you have a figure as to how many of the state-of-the-art schools, I mean, from that Asidi project, a school can cost as much as 37 million rands to build? Do you have a figure of how many schools we are looking at that have been built but have now become ghost infrastructure?
They are being quantified, but I can tell you there are more than 15 in the Eastern Cape province. And one of
five.
Yes, it's more than 15 in the province, and one of them is going to be converted into being a district office of the of Alfred.
I see. Now,
so I'm trying to say, had you had those schools being placed correctly where they
absolutely
needed, you would have been in a better pedestal. Because you know what, we've got 16,000 classes, ne? Which are translated to different to a particular small number of schools. We've got 16,000 classes that are in a state of art schools. Rooms, but you've got more than 2,000 schools that are needed. So it therefore tells you that when I argue and say to you, Lukona, you had needed a clear synergy between what is happening
absolutely
at the provincial level and at the national level.
Absolutely.
In this discussion, because it sends a particular signal where you have schools that were built recently by the government
and are not working.
And they're not working.
I just want to put one last issue. I just want to put one issue to you. I've heard, and I was talking to some people in the Libode district, Lusigisigi district areas, that the rationalization of, you know, schools is continuing where grade 8 and 9 are being moved to high schools. But some of the high schools are complaining that they don't have competencies such as, for example, in the learning area of technology, because they would not naturally have those expertise. In terms of your post-provisioning model, is this something that you are going to be looking at addressing? Probably seeing some of those expertise migrate from primary schools to high schools, but of course it may leave a deficit in the primary schools for other grades that need those expertise.
You know, last year the MEC signed the post-provision norms, which was as a result of consultation in different districts. But I can make an indication, Lukona, that when a school is being rationalized, you rationalize that school and then you say, this is the human resource in terms of teaching that I have in that particular school. Then what happens is that schools get to be given an opportunity to say, as I am taking learners from that school, this is the human resource in terms of teaching that which I need. And then you get to be having that process called post-matching of teachers.
Yes.
But I must make this indication that the other thing that comes to play is that there's a thinking that when you are a teacher, you are a teacher of Mahliwane Junior Secondary
yes.
School. It does not come to people or to us as people, just general, to say, I'm a teacher of Department of Education placed in Mahliwane.
Yes.
But because once we have that mentality,
the mobility of people can be easier.
Yes, the mobility of people can be easier. Then look at how do we then compensate the fact that you would have been dislodged from where you're coming from.
Yeah.
But the problem, the issue is that as we are in a process of rationalization, there are other sentimental issues that are being attached. People forgetting the impact that it have psychologically and also academically
yeah.
for progression of a learner, a person that is going
and,
to
be and I think this conversation we must take it forward. But before I let you go, I just want to make sure that I get this in. Is it true that your teacher to learners ratio has changed from 1:35 to 1:40 in your PPN?
I would not agree with that reality. I would not, because if it is such, it would mean that the leadership of union was not part, which in this case it was not. Is not the case. That PPN is as a result of views and ideas of teacher unions.
But the figure, is it 1:35 to 1:40, or it is? Is that the case though?
No, that is not the case. The figure is as stipulated in the policy of government, in the policy of basic education, because we don't do things only in case.
We will definitely be following up on that. Thank you. That is the MEC spokesperson in the Department of Education in the province of the Eastern Cape, Vuyiseka Mbotlela, just dealing with all issues, education, infrastructure, and of course, rationalization of schools.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.